Good morning. I ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah for a moment. And while you're doing that, I want to say happy birthday to Kevin Oshevsky and Helena. Yeah, where is Helena? She's right there. There we go. Yeah, people who get to have birthdays near Christmas. We have a son that's going to celebrate his birthday on the 23rd. And again, you sort of, it's almost like, you know, it's sort of anticlimactic. You know, you sort of get this idea, oh, I'm getting my birthday on Christmas, but then again, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. Like, I mean, that's the one we really want to focus on. But glad to hear, Kevin, you're getting a little older, right? I was razzing him this morning in the ABF, so yeah. Helena, we were praying for you as you're away. Glad you're back safely. Before we read this passage in Isaiah, just want to mention Glenn Hildebrand's in the hospital and has been there for quite some time, and again, his health isn't the greatest, and so I tried to get a visit in here this past week, but just feeling a little too weak here. So if you would remember Glenn and Nellie and their family, and then Helen Hildebrand was actually, had a little bit of a harrowing experience here getting back from visiting her children out in Alberta, and so she's back, but I don't know if there was some incident and so on. I haven't gotten followed up. Just got a text this morning. She wasn't going to be here this morning and might not be in church for a bit, so I'll follow up on that, but please remember Helen Hildebrand in your prayers. Yeah, and of course, just a number of people who aren't here this morning who, as a result, just the season of things going on, things being passed on, in such a wonderful way, right? So let's pray together and let's look at this passage in Isaiah. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be able to praise you and worship you. Thank you for what we've heard in song and for what we've already read in scripture. Thank you for this wonderful season of Advent. And we do rejoice with Kevin and Helena, and thank you for bringing Helena back. And may you continue to bless them as they celebrate your grace as they continue to walk this path. Pray for Helen Hildebrand as she's not here this morning, and you know the circumstances, Lord, undertake for her. I also pray for Glenn today, and again, we're thankful for him and pray that you'd continue to sustain he and Nellie and their family, and grant the doctors ongoing wisdom as they seek to treat him. And pray that there too, each one, Lord, would just give you praise, glory, and honor. And so that's our intent here this morning as we open your word together, as we pray, as we hear other passages being read, as we meditate upon your goodness, and as we break bread together. In Jesus' name, amen. Breaking of bread. In Isaiah chapter 9, the concept of breaking bread, although it may not have been very obvious, the passage is certainly alluding to this fellowship with our Creator, our Savior. And so I was thinking about that in light of Melchizedek back in the book of Genesis. And he was priest of God Most High, and here he met with Abraham and broke bread with him. I sort of wonder, you know, what did that do for Abraham? It must have been a pretty, probably a moment in his life when he wondered, you know, this must be the next step to meeting God. Because Old Testament saints had this idea that they were going to meet God not after some resurrection so much, but they were anticipating meeting God in the flesh. That's what they were hoping to do. And again, that's not so far from us, right? That's what we would like to do too. We would like to have the Lord rapture us and meet the Lord in the air and maybe escape death in that sense. And so there's no hint of death or resurrection in this passage, but there's this idea and concept of God ruling and fellowship being as God intended it to be. A world of peace. Yeah. We've been sort of thematic on this concept of peace in this Advent season, and I've done that intentionally out of the book of Micah. Familiar verses, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, written in the midst of a lot of chaos, a world certainly not in peace. And it's when we read these words, we almost have to close our eyes and not see Christmas trees and decorations and well wishes and so on, because much of that's very superficial. Sorry. You remember what I did last week, right? I tried to take the sap out of our sentimental view. And it's pretty hard to do, isn't it? I confess that readily. I intentionally bought a real tree, and although it looks a little bit like a Charlie Brown tree, I'm almost embarrassed to want to put it up, but we'll do it yet. Yeah. You mean you haven't put it up yet? Well, no, I know when you come to Winkler, you're supposed to put your tree up November 1st, but I'm anticipating the Lord's return, and maybe I won't have to put that tree up after all. So just close your eyes for a moment while I read the verses and anticipate this child that was promised to Eve, this God-man. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish that. I thank the Lord for the snowstorm. Did you? After all, he's the one that orchestrated it. I don't care if man prophesied it in your weather app. I looked at that and I said, you know, Lord, you control the seasons in which we live, the times in which we live. It's easy to sort of, on the one hand, have this extreme vulnerability where we're extremely, I would say, somewhat dismayed by the state of this world, but the state of this world is a course run amok. Man cannot save himself. We need a Savior. We look to heaven, to God himself, to send a Savior. For unto us a child is born. A child is given, the giving of the Son of God, so that you could be part of a kingdom of peace. We mentioned this morning that peace as God intends it can't fully be understood without you, and to what measure you do understand the grace of God, it's to that measure that you'll experience peace, the shalom of God in all of your relationships. I confess that I am still learning, wanting to embrace, so to say, the grace of God. For me to experience the grace of God, I'd have to allow God to permit things into my life that I don't want. Things that I can't control. But I want to control. I want to make it as easy as possible, as pleasant as possible. And so all the glitter and all the superficiality of the season undermines the obscurity and the depth of despair that was being experienced by the nation of Israel. And as they were looking, and here are these shepherds who are going to see this coming Messiah, but coming not in the form in which they anticipated. It was a child born in a manger. And this child will bring peace? When's that going to happen? Fast forward maybe 37 years in Jesus' life, and he's entering Jerusalem. And he's got a motley crew of disciples with him. And they expect the eradication of sin in this government upon Jesus, the Son of God, King of kings and Lord of lords. How exactly they could see that happening was still a mystery in a sense. A dream, as it were, and yet a dream that was dashed because of the death, the ghastly horror of the death of the Son of God. We couldn't envision the coming of the Son as a child. We can't envision the death of the Messiah. And so here we are, sort of caught again. But yet, like most people, we're trying to make it palatable, trying to be able to digest it in a way that it's comforting. There's nothing comforting unless you understand grace and your need of it. And you'll not experience peace unless you believe the grace that's been extended. I'm taking as much time as I can to worship. To worship, but with all the entrapments. I'm trying to just remember, as I read a verse of Scripture, that God has divinely preserved it so that I could see his marvelous love and his grace extended to me, a sinner, to which I'm grateful that he invites me to his table to break bread, to partake, and to be part of a body of believers made up of men and women throughout time, different languages, different experiences, different cultures, and who, again, we'd have to say in our syncretistic view of life, we're just trying to understand the marvelous love of God. I'm going to invite the men to come up and share a few thoughts. We'll share a little more on peace, just a few verses a little later, and I'm hoping that you'll write them down. I shared a bunch in the ABF. Should have been here. We were razzing Kevin much of the time, but we got through it. Happy birthday, Kevin. We'll continue, right, brother? Love the young man. Come up and share, gentlemen, things that God has laid on your heart, things that you're meditating upon.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Starting at verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's also go to Hebrews chapter 10. starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you've preserved your word and that it's living and active and working in our lives as we open it and look into it. Thank you that you care about us. I just thank you for your death and your resurrection and how, as we look to you, we can have peace. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Morning. I confess that I did not thank the Lord for the snowstorm. I thanked him for safe roads and warm houses and stuff in spite of, but definitely not for the snowstorm. And maybe Mike can you can correct my theology later.
Did you thank him for your snowblower?
I thanked him for my snowblower. Yeah. Let's turn to Matthew. There's a short bit out of Matthew 5. It's the Beatitudes. It'll be familiar for everybody, I'm sure. Matthew 5, yeah, chapter 5, verse 3. There's a lot in there, but blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I appreciate the song. I didn't really listen to that. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and it talks about this guy who's like in despair, and like there is no peace on earth and stuff. And I was just thinking about this verse I read this week, and figure, I don't know, makes you think how we're supposed to be peacemakers, and we'll talk a lot about peace and stuff this morning, so it's whatever, worth thinking about, I guess. Let's pray. God, thanks for keeping us safe on roads, and thanks for warm houses, despite of the inclement weather. Help us to keep peace in mind this week, and help us to think about how we can be peacemakers with those around us and what that means. Thanks for loving us, and thanks for dying for us. And help us to keep you in mind as we go throughout a busy Christmas season. Amen.
I'd like to read a fairly familiar passage out of John chapter 1, first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us. Thank you for all the different passages we've heard this morning and just reminding us of your marvelous grace, your love to us, the peace that only you can give. Thank you that we have your word so clearly spoken in the Bible, and this passage too, where we see that you came down to your own creation to save us and identify with us. Thank you so much for your great love, and I pray that we will take this very seriously and reflect on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Back to the book of Micah for a moment. Micah chapter 5 is where our Advent series has been. Last week we looked at Micah 5 verses 3 and 4, and I'll read verses 4 and then I'll read just the first part of verse 5, and then I'll just maybe just share a few other verses with you, and maybe you can mark them down. They relate to this matter of peace. Micah chapter 5, verse 4. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. This, remember, is the son who was born, upon whom government would be upon his shoulders, the one who would bring in an age of peace. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they, the nation of Israel, who currently is living in exile, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Clearly, this isn't the time in which that's taking place, but it will. And then we read in 5a, and he will be their peace. Oh, right now, King Jesus is not Israel's peace. National Israel does not recognize King Jesus. Turn with me to another passage, and these would be the words of the Lord Jesus. And thank you, Corny, for reading the Gospel of John. We're going to John chapter 14, verse 27. Passage that we read in our ABF, but should be repeated. And thank you, John. Thank you, Sean, for sharing from Hebrews. And yeah, just so good to hear you share from these different passages. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. That's a rather striking kind of statement when you think about it. So say, well, what do you mean? Of course, he left them peace. But the disciples by and large, all died in martyrdom. The Apostle John was left in exile. As far as we know, he died as an old man, but the rest suffered. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. In fact, the world cannot offer peace. Peace never originated with man. God is a creator. He created a world of peace. Man is the one that has brought in sin and destruction by virtue of their choices. Notice the latter part of the verse, in keeping with peace, contrary to the way our world seeks to have us shudder all the time. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Turn with me to another passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Just the first part of the verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. I was going to send you an email earlier this week talking a little bit about the Advent season and so on, but I might do it yet. We'll see. I read the article and I thought it sounded, maybe you were thinking maybe I was converting to Roman Catholicism, but there's something in there that was pretty good. So I thought, well, maybe I could take the risk. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Four candles lit. Anticipation. He is our peace. Peace has already arrived in your life. You already have peace to the degree that you understand His grace. To the degree that you embrace it with all of the hardship that this world throws at you, with all of the disappointments, you know that you're forgiven and loved by God and that God wants to use you in the midst of your limited understanding, in the midst of the chaos in your own life. He says, you have been granted peace. He is our peace. Come down to verse 17. He came and preached peace. Kairoso. To preach, to express it with conviction. Don't you know? Jesus would say somewhere along those lines, who I am. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as that have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God and to be at peace. He preached peace to you who are far away, us Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the Jews. And for through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. Lastly, let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and then we'll break bread together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, I didn't do anything mysterious in terms of my Bible study. I used my Bible program, and I typed in the word peace, and I decided I would search, and I decided I just wanted to share a few thoughts on the word peace. And I tried to just pick those passages that related to the message of the Lord Jesus. Peace is mentioned 96 times in the New Testament, 155 times in the Old Testament, and 49 times by the Apostle Paul. For those of you who are factoids and love these little details, I love them. Verse 16. The Apostle Paul writing this letter to the Thessalonians of all people. Wonder what happened to Thessalonica. All kinds of chaos. Chased out of town, running for his life. You can read about the hardships of the Apostle Paul, and yet he wants the saints at Thessalonica to experience something. And so verse 16, now may the kurios of Irene, the Lord of peace himself. You and I know the Lord of peace himself. I know the Lord. I know him experientially, and I'm learning to know him more with every day. In the midst of my human limitations and frailty, within the disappointments, and oftentimes I lose perspective, but I actually know the Lord. And if I stop and I pause and I come to break bread and I bow before him, I know that this message rings, not just in my ears, but in my understanding, in my heart, in my relationship with God. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. I need that at all times in every way. God's peace. I'll ask those of you who are helping with sharing the emblems this morning, if you'd come forward at this time. And those of you who are familiar with our breaking of bread, I'll be sharing a little bit from 1 Corinthians 11, maybe 1 Corinthians 10, not sure yet, just with regards to these emblems and passages that are familiar, and yet Paul wrote them to the Corinthians to help them focus. I'll get one of you men to come and give thanks for the loaf.
Lord, I thank you for this morning, Lord, that we can remember your death and just take time to reflect upon the sacrifice that you made for us, Lord, that your body was broken for us. Thank you for your love. Lord, I pray that as we take this time, that we would just remember that we've been commanded to do the same, to give our lives for you, Lord. We just thank you for this season and the things that we can reflect on, and just the joy that we can have in spending time with family. And Lord, I pray that you would give us peace, that we would be peacemakers, as was said. And just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Of course it is. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let's pray again. Lord, we come to you again and just want to thank you for your love for us. Thank you for coming to earth for the first time as a baby, what we've been talking about, and also for you, for the purpose that you came is to redeem us, to give us life, to give us eternal life. And thank you for the sacrifice you made, which we're remembering this morning. We also look forward to your return, and I just pray that as we live our lives in gratitude for what you've done for us, and as we remember the great cost, help us to look forward to that time when you'll come again. And Lord, we just ask you to bless the cup now as we partake of it in Jesus' name.
Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's stand together and we'll close in a word of prayer. Just a couple of other announcements just want to reiterate is that tonight, first of all, there's a Christmas program at Emmaus, 7 o'clock. And so if you're so inclined, you want to go down there and cheer them on and their young people and children, that'd be great. And then Friday night, we have our Christmas program at 7 p.m. here on the 23rd. And then next Sunday morning, did I get that right? Okay, I'm just making sure. I knew I announced it that way, but I wasn't here when the announcements were being made. So, and then Sunday morning, we're going to be here for a Christmas morning celebration. There'll be special music and readings as we would normally have every Christmas. And so we'll be lighting the fifth candle, and we'll be celebrating as we read various aspects of the Christmas story. Thank you, Lord, for each one here this beautiful Sunday morning. The things that we anticipate, Lord, we'd be happy if you intervened and came back and took us to be with you. At the same time, while we're here, we want to represent you. We want to honor you. We want to worship you as you deserve. And so we pray, Father, that you would help each of us in our homes and our families and all of our preparations, that we would take the time to meditate upon the various things that we've talked about here this morning. Thank you for the Beatitudes that remind us of how we're to live. We know that in a future day, clearly we'll be living in that way. Thank you for each one here. Bless each family. Bless the work at Emmaus, and pray that as they anticipate their Christmas program tonight, that you bless all of their efforts and mums and dads and people who have never heard would come to hear and understand your marvelous grace. Thank you for each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake if you're so inclined. Lord bless you.